KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello, I'm Noelani Patterson. Thank you for tuning in to Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
I'm Ronan Vanti. Today on the Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we hear from a Fresno State student who's being honored by the NAACP for the work she does in the Fresno community.
We begin with a story about something that has affected far too many of us. Car break-ins on campus. A recent increase of car break-ins on and around the campus of Fresno State has students concerned for the safety of themselves and their belongings.
Delaney Menez and Sophia Alberti are students who live both off campus and on campus and have had their cars broken into.
Okay, so I got broken into at the dorm parking lot. They broke my back passenger window and took everything inside.
My car was broken into at the Delta Gamma sorority right across from campus. It happened in the middle of the night, and my back window was shattered and all my things were taken out of my car. My car was parked in a gated parking lot.
Every week, we are seeing more and more break-ins, and the close proximity to campus has students concerned.
I think it's happened a lot more recently, and specifically in that dorm parking lot, because people like have personal belongings, like whether they're coming from back home or coming back to school.
Some even say that there should be more security measures taken since the recent increase.
I think that Fresno State should have more security patrolling around campus because there is so much student living around campus as well as on campus, and they don't do as much patrolling as they should.
On top of juggling school, work, and anything else students may be busy with, waking up and realizing your car was broken into can have a huge impact on students' mental health. It has also taken a financial toll on students who are impacted.
I financially had to pay for a new window. I didn't have a car to drive because I couldn't get a window for weeks, so I had to go home. So mentally that was really hard, trying to go back and forth from home with school and everything. And I just felt upset that my things had been gone through when I wasn't there or didn't know until afterwards.
It made me sad because I lost a lot of stuff, and then it was also financially, like, very expensive to get a new window. So it was kind of weird that, like, somebody I don't know was in my car.
It's important for students who live on and around campus to take special precautions to ensure their car and belongings' safety.
My only advice now for car break-ins is to not leave absolutely anything in your car, whether it be a water bottle or even a charger. Just leave absolutely nothing visible in your car.
As the number of car break-ins continues to escalate, it's crucial the community stays aware and provides awareness efforts to promote student safety.
I think it's not talked about unless it happens to you or one of your friends, but otherwise no one really knows about it. So I think other people should be more aware of the amount of car break-ins that do happen on campus or around campus.
Why did you decide to do this story?
I feel like I see it happening a lot more on campus recently, and I just feel like there's little to no awareness for the students that it does happen to.
Young people are experiencing a record high level of stress in the past 10 years. I talked to an expert and looked into the research as to why this could be.
They ask you how you are, you just have to say that you're fine when you're not really fine, but you just can't get into it because they would never understand.
Most of you are already familiar with this clip of Katy Perry talking about a dark period in her life. It's an old meme, but a popular sound during the good old days of Vine. If you think about it, it only became so popular because many people found it relatable, which says a lot about our generation of teens and young adults.
Teen girls are experiencing
teenage girls in the U.S. are experiencing.
Now to our special coverage of teens in crisis.
It is no surprise that there have been a decline in mental health in the last couple of years, as news coverage of the downward trend has made headlines.
Mental health is really a perennial issue throughout human history, but I think it's certainly receiving a lot more attention now than it probably ever has.
This is Assistant Professor Chris Miller, a neuroscientist in the psychology department here at Fresno State.
Mental health is really a perennial issue throughout human history, but I think it's certainly receiving a lot more attention now than it probably ever has.
The CDC has recorded a disturbingly record high of distress in the last 10 years, with levels of sexual violence and suicidal tendencies within teen girls being higher than it's ever been. One in five girls have been reported to experience sexual violence in the past year, which is up 20% since 2017 when the CDC started monitoring this issue. Meanwhile, one in three girls seriously considered attempting suicide, which makes up a staggering 60% since the last decade. Luckily, with coverage for mental health awareness being better than it was before, experts have provided some effective ways in which we could tackle these issues.
Improving the way that we communicate with our teens about sex and being more positive about it, and also emphasizing the importance about affirmative consent in sex, and being more affirmative in our support of teens about gender identity and sexual orientation.
In regards to social media being a huge part in the lives of young people, Miller suggests we focus on how to use that technology to connect and empower young people across all groups and cultures.
Masculinity has been a topic of debate for centuries, and the definition of what it means to be a man has evolved over time. Walter Scott explores the changes in the concept of manhood from the past to the present and the impact these changes have on young adults in modern society.
As our society evolves and progresses, so too does the discussion of masculinity and the concept of what it means to be a man. In recent years, there's been a growing movement to reevaluate and expand manhood's definition, specifically as it relates to the transition from youth to adulthood.
When it comes to about being a man or what that meant when I was younger, essentially a man, don't show your feelings, stay shut, don't be emotional, don't cause issues, don't say how you feel. And also too, with around my, you know, friends at school, it was like, you know, have the best body, have the most money, have the ideal career, travel, and be a ladies' man, right? Don't be a man to one woman, be a man to different women.
Although raised amongst different cultures and backgrounds, scholar and journalist Carlos Rene Castro and Brian Kennedy agree on their similar conditions as for what the ideal man was supposed to appear and act like.
The little amount of feelings that you show, the better, you know? You always want to create that sense of manhood, that, you know, nothing bothers you, that, you know, you're the perfect human being, that, you know, you just basically wake up and you go throughout your day just like any normal human being. You know, nothing bothers you, nothing can reshape your life, you know, you're just perfect in a sense.
For generations now, the media has played a significant role in shaping our cultural understanding of masculinity, which is further reinforced by countless movies, advertisements, and TV shows.
A lot of the time, especially when you look at, let's just use Hollywood for example, and when you look at a lot of movies that's depicting, you know, male roles, they depict them in a very particular way. And I think that in reality, right, when we look at reality, it's very different from what's depicted in movies.
The growing recognition in the traditional Western view of masculinity as limiting and harmful is seeing more and more spotlight. Many scholars have noted that this way of thinking can negatively contribute to the labels and stereotypes men have come to assume. And as a result, the push to rethink and expand the definition of manhood is now a more prominent topic of discussion.
Masculinity and manhood, you know, it's not defined by how you walk or how you talk. I think it's a set of morals and a set of principles that you choose to live by, that you choose to base your life around, you know, and I just feel that it's not based off how you dress. It's not based off, you know, what you drive or where you work or how you look or how you talk. I feel like it's based off of more principles and it goes deeper than just the surface.
One of the most significant changes in society has been to address and move away from the idea of toxic masculinity and that certain attitudes associated with traditional masculinity are unhealthy.
Pressure to have the best looks, the pressure to have the most money in the bank account, the pressure to have the most following. It's a lot of pressure.
This has led to a growing trend that explores the challenges and expectations faced by young adults as they navigate their way through the transition from adolescence to adulthood.
The pressure that should be felt is the pressure to be kind, to be lovable, to love people, to be caring, to be there for people, and honestly just be a well-rounded human being.
You have to be able to look in the mirror and define what a man is to you. And then when you define what that is and what you feel are the attributes to that, then that's where your journey begins to fit the definition that you feel. Because I feel like if you're looking to fit the definition that others tell you to be, or what media, movies, music tell you to be, I think at the end of the day, you won't be happy because you're chasing something that isn't internally your journey.
Taking every day, just one by one, waking up and just, you know, learning from your mistakes. And every mistake, I think, for me, is an opportunity to better yourself. But I mean, just simple as that. Wake up every day and just be a man. I don't know.
The sad truth is most men don't receive their first flowers until their funeral. And although the material representation of a flower may not be necessary, the appreciation of self and of effort is long overdue for many men around the world. I'm Walter Scott for Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
Whether you choose to be a chiseled lumberjack or a sensitive poet, one thing is clear. The definition of manhood is no longer one size fits all. Kalia Clayton won the first ever NAACP Community Works in Africana Studies Award. The senior in Africana Studies and Psychology major received the award at the Black Excellence Gala earlier this month. Adjua Akins talks with her about her role as a youth leader and the special people who helped her get to where she is today.
While it is her passion to represent those in her community, it was her commitment as a youth leader that led her to Golden Charter Academy.
I went to Golden Charter and I fell in love. At first, I started working with fourth graders as a learning guide. I mean, I'm still a learning guide officially.
Clayton started working at Golden Charter Academy in September 2022. It didn't take her long to begin making an impact on the lives of the children there.
The principal actually asked me to write a list of books for cultural books that I think some of the kids would like, because, you know, we have a large Black population at Golden Charter.
Clayton's connection with the Academy girls inspired her to create a program called Beauty Break, where she talks to girls about their identities, self-care, and mental health.
Because I pull them out of class for 30 minutes, and then I read to them books about their hair, about their skin, you know, about Black history. And then I got a couple of other older girls in the third grade recommended to come to me when they have emotional issues or they just need a break. So we take a beauty break, we have a sister circle, we talk, we laugh, we do affirmations, and I really loved it.
Clayton credits her advocacy and work to the influence of the role models in her life, her mother and her mentor and boss growing up, Rochelle Kingsby.
When it came to Rochelle, she had actually came after I had graduated from high school. And during that time, I feel like it really hit me because I was mourning a lot over the death of my father from, you know, a couple few years back in high school.
Kingsby was more than a mentor to Clayton. She was a friend and a sister at a time Clayton needed one the most.
And at that time, it really hit me with just being put out into the world and, you know, becoming an adult. And so she was there. She gave me a job, you know. She helped me, gave me extra money if I needed it. She gave me rides home if I needed it, when my car broke down.
With the help of her mother, Kingsby, and many other influential people in her life, Clayton takes on the responsibility to help other children feel supported and represented.
As for me as a Black woman in my 20s, I think it's important for me to be there for the younger generation and for them to learn that, you know, people are going to need you as well. You know, they're going to seek for you and they are going to seek for your comfort as well. And I want them to be open to that.
In advocacy for Black history, Clayton has also gained a large TikTok following with over 75,000 followers. Adjua Akins, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
You can go to All Black Facts on TikTok to see Kalia Clayton's content.
The Bucket is a place to eat, hang out, study, and play shuffleboard. It is also a place to grab a beer with your meal. Fresno State is a wet campus, and University Dining Service Director Mezen Serantos reminds us how to drink responsibly.
I have order 136, 136.
Order 135.
Getting a liquor license, the auxiliary organization holds the liquor license for the Bucket, and we've had it for a number of years. We do sell draft beer and Fresno State wine here, and so we don't do a lot of sales, but it's a nice feature to have. It promotes our ag department as well, and the wines that the students on campus make, and so but we are the only location on campus that does serve beer and wine.
The first time I ate lunch at the Bucket, I noticed that there were placards on every napkin holder about the warning signs of alcohol poisoning.
That was actually something that was promoted through the Student Health and Counseling Center, an initiative that they did a few years back just to really raise awareness for students. And because we are the only location on campus that serve alcohol, we just wanted to make sure that students were aware about, you know, the possibility of that happening and what to look for. Our staff is really, really careful about making sure not to overserve anybody, and making sure that as students are, you know, ordering beer or wine, they're also eating and not, you know, drinking on an empty stomach, and just making sure, you know, that they're being served responsibly.
The Bucket makes you feel like you just walked into your favorite sports bar. Today, students are playing a game of shuffleboard.
I really enjoy the Bucket. The times that I actually get to come in here are really fun. It's a really nice place. There's kind of this cool bar-y atmosphere. I mean, it is a bar, so I mean, it has like a, I don't know how to describe it, like a, you know, fun, like bar-y atmosphere, even though you're in the middle of campus on, like, during the broad daylight. I usually get the chicken wraps. The chicken wraps are super good. Today I just got the honey mustard chicken wrap.
That was Fresno State student Caleb Helsel. I took Caleb's advice and ordered the barbecue chicken wrap with french fries, a side of ranch dressing, and a side of pickled jalapenos. And it was yummy. I'm Terry Randolph with Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
I think I will grab a beer and watch some sport at the Bucket. How about you, Noelni?
Well, not quite yet for me, but maybe in the future. After spring break is over, don't miss out on Fresno State's biggest plant sale. You can buy a wide variety of vegetables, herbs, succulents, and perennial houseplants. And they're all grown here at Fresno State. It's happening April 15th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Gibson Farm Market.
And that wraps up our show for the week. Next week on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, dorm living, the pros and cons.
We'll also look at college hacks, what students are doing to get the most out of their college experience.
Today's episode of Fresno State Focus Radio Edition was produced by Professor Faith Sidlow for the Department of Media Communications and Journalism. Our stories and interviews were produced and edited by Tari Randolph, Adjua Atkins, Walter Scott, Noelni Patterson, and me, Ronan Vanthi.
This program is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Noelni Patterson.
And I'm Ronan Vanthi. Have a great morning.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.